You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, joining forces with Sosa Kremenjes of Locked On Rams. Sosa, we've got a really critical rematch coming up here in Week 16. NFC West title on the line, Rams and Seahawks. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. You know, this is what football is all about. We kind of had a feeling that it might come down to this one. And it just feels fitting, right? The Rams, Seahawks, both very good teams, both very likely going to make it into the playoffs at this point. I think it's probably safe to say that. Man, I'm ready. It's December football. We got 2 weeks left, and it's all on the line here in Week 16, so I'm ready to go.
This is a nice post-Christmas gift for NFL fans when you've got a chance to see a game with a division title on the line, two teams that are neck and neck and had a really close game already earlier this season, the Rams winning 23-16 in a game that ended up being a little lower scoring than I think you and I anticipated. And obviously the Seahawks are coming off of a win in Washington. It was a hard fought one that they had to hold off a rally from a team that is much better than the record indicates. I think Washington is a dangerous team here going down the stretch, even if their quarterback doesn't seem to understand that he's supposed to stay away from strip clubs. But anyway, that's beside the point. Looking at the Rams, a little bit different situation last week, losing a heartbreaker, the upset of the season to the Jets, 23-20. So I kind of want to start off with that question here, Sosa. Jared Goff didn't have a great game against a Jets defense that allowed 40 points to the Seahawks just 1 week earlier. It really seems like, looking at social media, the pulse of the Rams fan base right now, they are growing stale a bit on Jared Goff at this point. When you look at his overall production, we've talked about this before, he always seems to play at his best against the Seahawks, but it just doesn't seem like the progression, the development has been there, and maybe fans are getting a little bit irritated by that at this point.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, is that, you know, we've seen some lows from Jared Goff in his career, like 2016 in his rookie season. We've seen him improve steadily ever after that, right? We've seen 2017 when Sean McVay comes in through the door, immediately starts to look like a franchise guy. 2018, he starts to look like a potential MVP candidate. And now here we are, you know, 2 years after, and he's basically regressed in every season. I think you look at him, he's just making so many dumbfounded mistakes. He's somehow become a mistake prone turnover machine. I mean, every time he's getting sacked, I'm holding my breath, because half the time he gets sacked, that ball is coming out and it just compounds and turns into something worse, as opposed to just being a sack. It turns into a sack fumble, and oftentimes those are recovered by the defense. And so you see him make very weird decisions as a passer. We've seen it twice last week against the New York Jets. He threw one interception on a rollout where he didn't even see a cornerback standing right underneath the receiver that he intended to throw to. And then a second in the final drive of the game, the Rams had a chance to mount a comeback, and they started to mount one, and Jared Goff and Sean McVay ran something, I believe it was a bootleg at that point in time, and Jared Goff was just nonchalant, rolling out, tries to throw it over a safety's head into his flat receiver, who's wide open, and Marcus May literally just had it in his hands, and somehow it slipped out, and it turned into a reception, actually, but it should have been an easy game-sealing interception. So I think it's fair to say that the fan base is just really frustrated right now. He's playing very, very inconsistently. 1 week he'll look okay, and then the next week, it's just three or four turnovers and inexcusably bad play. And I think it's something that's plagued the Rams offense, you know, all the way throughout this season, is that he just can't really seem to string together a few games where he just plays clean football and just takes care of the football and makes good decisions.
And honestly, in Goff's defense, there have been some injuries around him. Andrew Whitworth went down in that first game against the Seahawks, was injured in the second half of that game, has still not returned yet. There's maybe still some hope he can return for the postseason, but he won't be playing in this game. And they will be without Cam Akers. The rookie has really come on as of late, but he is not going to be playing in this game on Sunday either. How do those two injuries, in particular not having Whitworth in this game, Seattle's pass rush has really come to life since that first matchup between these two teams. How does not having those two players impact this Rams offense heading into this rematch?
This is something I probably would never have expected to say, but I think that losing Akers is actually going to hurt the Rams more than not having Whitworth in this one, or, you know, even in the past few weeks and going forward into week 17, probably, is that the Rams haven't had Whitworth now for, I want to say, 4, maybe 5 weeks, and his replacement in left tackle, Joe Noteboom, he's actually played very well. So, you know, he's a natural tackle. He started the season at left guard, and he was absolutely terrible at left guard, and he got injured 2 games into the season and was shelved on the IR list for quite a while. And then in his first game back, he was activated, and he was tossed right back into the fire, and that was the game where Whitworth got hurt. So, you know, Noteboom's done a very solid job at left tackle. He's obviously not Andrew Whitworth. He's not an elite tackle. He's not going to be able to bring that same juice and power in the running game, and I think that's where he lacks the biggest area in his game. But as a pass protector, he's been solid. He's very smooth. He's got smooth pass sets, and I think that's something that the Rams are probably surprised by, and I know that I and probably a lot of Rams fans were surprised by too. So I don't think that loss is going to impact them all too much in this game. But then I look at the Cam Akers loss, and he has a high ankle sprain, so he's probably going to be held out even in week 17. And I think that's the bigger loss, to be honest, is that, you know, there is some good backup running backs with the Rams. Obviously, they have Darrell Henderson there, who started a lot of games for the team this season. But Cam Akers has totally become their identity on offense, which they haven't really even had an identity. It's been literally just 95% of Cam Akers from that backfield over the last 3 or 4 games. And it's been a whole lot of Cam Akers. And that sort of started to become their identity over the last few weeks. It started to work, actually. You know, their offense started to click a little bit. Cam Akers was starting to get into his groove. He was looking like the 52nd overall pick that he was. He was clearly, you know, getting comfortable in the offense, getting comfortable with the speed of the game. And now they lose him. So now they have to go back to Darrell Henderson, who also looked good earlier in the season, but they don't really run the same style. And the Rams don't really run the same style of plays with these guys. And Darrell Henderson, they like to run more outside zone concepts. And with Cam Akers, they like to run a lot more power. And so I don't know how this is going to impact the offense, but I'm going to guess that, you know, they're probably going to shift to more of a wide zone approach once again, with probably a lot of heavy play action and stuff like that. But that's definitely an area I'm concerned about moving forward.
On the defensive side of the football, the Rams have had one of the best defenses in the league all season long. But last weekend, I guess you could say this for the entire team, when you have an 0-13 team come to your building and beat you, it was a disappointing effort against the Jets. But you can especially say that on defense. And Frank Gore obviously did not light the world on fire with his yards per carry, but the Jets fed him early and often. He made an impact in this game, and they were able to get some downfield pass plays going with Sam Darnold and his receiving core as well. Do you have any defensive concerns lingering coming out of this game, going against a Seahawks offense, at least on paper, that has a lot more talent than what the Jets do?
You know, I don't. I feel like they were put into some bad positions last week. Jared Goff, like I mentioned, had the interception, which gave the Jets the ball inside of the 30-yard line, and then a block punt, which was very uncharacteristic for the Rams special teams unit, once again giving this the Jets the ball within the plus 30-yard line once again. So they had two very short fields. The Rams, I believe, held them to a field goal at least on one of those drives, maybe on both. I can't recall now. But they played solid, obviously 23 points when you look at the box score stats against a Jets offense that has the least amount of offensive touchdowns in the NFL this season, is not a great stat line. But at the end of the day, they were put in some bad positions. You looked at some certain coverage breakdowns, which when I watched the tape, I seen at least 3 or 4, maybe even 5 big coverage breakdowns where guys weren't following certain players in motion, or, you know, guys were left wide open coming out of the backfield, things like that. And it allowed the Jets to kind of string together drives, make big plays, and ultimately score on some of those drives. So, you know, I think that's something that they're going to clean up. I think that was very uncharacteristic of the defense. And, you know, I think we have a large enough sample size at this point in the season that, you know, I think we have a good idea of who these guys are. And I definitely believe that the Rams are a top 2, top 3 defense in the NFL right now. And I think last week was just sort of a mixture of, you know, everything bad happening in 1 week. And unfortunately, the Rams defense couldn't step up and seal the game for them. But I don't have too many concerns about that unit moving forward.
Let's talk game plan here real quick going into this rematch, because one thing that I was really impressed with that the Rams brought to the table in that first matchup, obviously you're always going to highlight Aaron Donald as the first, second, and third priority to stop, especially when you're the Seahawks, who have historically allowed him to just wreck games. And he's gotten to Russell Wilson so many times in his career that I'm sure Wilson every night is having nightmares about Aaron Donald. But in that first matchup, it was the outside rushers that seemed to have the biggest impact. Leonard Floyd had 3 sacks. They got 2 from Terrell Lewis in that game. Most of that damage came in the second half. And what I was impressed by was it seemed like the Rams were doing a good job of mixing in certain types of pressures. They were getting one-on-one, ideal one-on-one situations for their edge rushers. Oftentimes they were ending up with a running back on them, or there was one extra rusher compared to the number of blockers Seattle had available. And then Russell Wilson was not hitting his hot receiver. That was something that I outlined on several podcasts this season. He's had some issues with that, which is uncharacteristic of Russell Wilson. But do you expect a similar game plan here? Or do you think maybe going into this rematch, the Rams might not be quite as aggressive with the blitz, considering historically Russell Wilson has been pretty good against that?
I think that they will be very aggressive when it comes to the blitz, but you know, it's going to be tough to come even close to having that type of performance again. Like you mentioned, you know, Leonard Floyd has the best game of his season. Terrell Lewis has the best game of his short career, which obviously he's a rookie, isn't saying that much, but the best game of his career. And that is the Aaron Donald effect, right? When you got a guy like that, he's going to get doubled. He's going to get tripled. He has a football IQ that's unmatched. He knows how to get other guys easier routes to the quarterback. And we've seen that all season. So, you know, I do think that they're going to continue to blitz in this game. I think they're not going to want to sit back and play coverage and let the Seahawks offense kind of come to them. I think they're going to try to be aggressive. I think, you know, Brandon Staley's been very aggressive with his play calls this season. You see a lot of blitzes from guys like Jalen Ramsey coming off the nickel spot, Troy Hill, linebackers coming in. And that's something that they've clearly wanted to do, is try to get every guy on the defensive line or every known pass rusher a one-on-one. And typically they do that by bringing 5 guys, maybe even 6 guys sometimes. And that's something that's helped Aaron Donald be very productive this season, allowing teams to, you know, get less chances to double and triple team him, as well as allowing other guys that may be lesser talented in terms of guys like Leonard Floyd, easier routes to the quarterback. And I think it's been very successful for the Rams, and I don't see why they would change in this game.
When we flip to the third quarter, Sosa's going to start dishing some questions at me about the Seahawks heading into this rematch. We'll be right back. You're listening to Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. As an avid weightlifter and distance runner, I'm always looking for an edge when it comes to nutrition, seeking delicious, healthy protein bars without the crazy additives. Since being diagnosed with celiac disease, my options have been pretty limited. Until now. Enter in the Built Bar, a low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, gluten-free protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar now comes in 18 mouth-watering flavors, including 6 new delicious flavors such as caramel brownie and cookies and cream. My all-time favorite is peanut butter brownie, which is 20 grams of protein, just 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. Since I had my first Built Bar, I never go without one when I hit the weight room or go for a jog. All Built Bars are 100% chocolate, nut and gluten-free, soft and easy to chew, and don't have the nasty aftertaste of competing protein bars. Sound too good to be true? Go to BuiltBar.com and build your own custom box with your choice of flavors using the code LOCKEDON for $10 off. You will also receive a free cooler with your first purchase while supplies last. So what are you waiting for? Change your workout game by going to BuiltBar.com and entering code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Are you ready for some football? College football heads into bowl season, and there are some big NFL matchups this weekend. The NFL regular season's finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clear. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for 50% on your welcome bonus. There's a lot of big games coming up across the league this weekend. The Seahawks battling the Rams for an NFC West title, the Packers and Titans dueling in a potential Super Bowl preview, and much more. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts.
Welcome back to the next segment of this crossover edition of the Locked On Rams and Locked On Seahawks podcasts. As you guys know, Corbin introduced us just prior, and now we're going to flip the tables. So I got my questions here for Corbin as they pertain to the Seattle Seahawks, and I'm diving in to the first contest between the Rams and the Seahawks. Obviously, that game was a very close game, even though it didn't really feel like it. And one of the star players for the Seahawks on offense, arguably the best receiver in football this season, and I'm sure the 12s would say that without a doubt, Mr. DK Metcalf is the best receiver in football. But I feel like Rams fans probably say the same thing about Jalen Ramsey on the opposite side of the ball, the best cornerback in football. That was literally a football lover's dream, getting to watch those two line up and duke it out for an entire game. And I think it's pretty fair to say that Jalen Ramsey came out on top in that game. If I recall that Ramsey actually didn't give up any statistics to Metcalf in that game, which is obviously insane to say because DK Metcalf hasn't been stopped by anybody this season. In that game, he was targeted only four times. He only had two receptions for 28 yards, and I don't believe that any of that came on Ramsey. So is there a way that the Seahawks can kind of get him more involved in this game? And do you think there's going to be an emphasis on doing so?
You obviously don't want to force the football to a receiver, especially when you have a corner, the talent of Jalen Ramsey on the other side. But I felt like the Seahawks, especially Russell Wilson, I thought he looked away from that matchup way too many times in that football game. Afterwards, when I had the all 22, there were a couple of plays where DK Metcalf clearly had a couple steps on Jalen Ramsey on deep balls. And I think that that is still an area that they can expose Ramsey. As great of a corner as he is, I think that Metcalf, he's just such a unique talent. And so, again, you don't want to force the issue, but I think they absolutely have got to find a way to get him the football a few times early. And it'd be nice to get him a few catches working against Ramsey just to help his confidence. I don't think confidence is necessarily an issue for him, but just to get him into the flow of the game, because he is such a matchup problem and everybody wants to see those two going back and forth. And it really didn't seem like we were able to enjoy that much in that first game, because as you mentioned, Wilson only targeted him four times. And so I think that's got to be something going into this game when you consider just how big of an impact player that Metcalf is, especially with Tyler Lockett not having the best of halves. This second half for him has been kind of quiet. They need DK Metcalf to come up with a big game here in week 16. And so, again, don't force the issue, but your game plan should be catered to. Let's see if we can scheme some ways. Maybe we motion DK Metcalf a little bit more pre-snap, see if we can get some ideal matchups, and let's get the football to our star receiver.
Yeah, I agree. I was totally shocked that he only seen four targets. I think that's the type of talent that should be seeing, you know, a minimum of 10 targets every game. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there were definitely a few handful of snaps where Metcalf had the better of Ramsey. Let's be honest here. You know, this is a elite on elite matchup. Guys are both going to win. And, you know, I think Russell Wilson's probably going to target him a little bit more in this one. I wouldn't be shocked to see that. But I want to stick on the offensive side of the ball. And the Seahawks obviously got one of their star players back over the past few weeks that they did not have in the first game against the Rams. And that's running back Chris Carson. And I'm sure 12s know, I'm sure Rams fans know by now, we've seen enough of Chris Carson to know that this is one of the toughest runners, maybe the most physical runner in football. He's playing great recently. He has 5.10 yards per carry over his last three games, over 200 rushing yards, 204 to be exact. How big of a difference has he made to the offense? And have they sort of shifted towards more of that running approach that we all kind of, you know the Seahawks for, as opposed to the let Russ cook movement that we felt like we were seeing earlier this season?
It does seem like the let Russ cook show has not been on the air for a few weeks. They are definitely getting the run game involved more, and they are as healthy as you can be in the backfield. They did lose their rookie DJ Dallas to a ankle sprain last weekend, but they got Rashad Penny back from his torn ACL. He got a couple carries last week and looked explosive. Carlos Hyde had a 50-yard touchdown run, and it's not often you see a 1,000-yard rusher become a backup and sign in free agency, but that's what the Seahawks have in Carlos Hyde. But ultimately, the workhorse is Chris Carson, who I still believe is one of the top five running backs in the NFL, and I know it's a position that's been devalued with teams slinging the ball over the place, but this football team absolutely has to be able to run the football to help out their offensive line, to help out Russell Wilson. It was fun early in the season to watch him slinging the ball over the place. But when you get later into a season, especially this year, defenses, it took them longer to catch up. And I think a lot of that had to do with the abbreviated offseason. And now that these defenses have gotten caught up and they're playing much better, offensive scoring has gone way down in recent weeks. And I think the Seahawks, Pete Carroll's talked about a number of times, for us to win with the way games are playing right now, with how defenses are playing us, we're seeing a lot more too high safety looks, more cloud looks to try to take away those deep balls. We have to be able to run the ball between the tackles. And when they didn't have Carson available, he really is a big part of that identity. And so they've really limited the number of carries compared to last year. He is pretty fresh at this point of the season. I think you're going to start seeing him getting 20-plus carries here. They're going to mix in their other backs. I think Rashad Penny brings an element they don't have with their other running backs, where he has that extra gear to be able to hit home runs once he gets to the second level. But Chris Carson is truly the guy, and I think he's going to be a big focal point for this offense, finishing up the regular season, going into the playoffs. And, of course, they're hoping with him running the ball the way that he has the last few weeks that that's going to make life easier for Russell Wilson and getting that deep ball going again that's kind of been missing the last four or five games.
Yeah, I want to talk about a little bit of the 12s here, somewhat of, you know, how the fan base is feeling, how what the thought of the Seahawks team is, and really what their expectation level is. And, you know, looking at the last three games, they have played, you know, two relatively decent teams, but I wouldn't say any tremendous team. They've obviously played the Washington football team, the New York Jets, and the New York Giants. And I feel like maybe it wouldn't even be a stretch to say that the last very good team or the last legitimate playoff contender that they faced was maybe the Arizona Cardinals in week 11. So talking about, you know, the fan base and the media, even yourself, are people buying into this team? And, you know, what are the expectations? Is the NFC West title enough? Is the third seed in the NFC playoff picture enough? Are people expecting a deep playoff run?
Well, if you're talking about expectations, the fan base wants a Super Bowl. They want a Lombardi trophy. They're tired of the one or two games and out like the Seahawks have been doing since 2014. They want to get past the divisional round when you've got your quarterback in Russell Wilson in the prime of his career. He's got the best group of receivers that he's ever had. He's got the best offensive line that he's ever had in front of him. Now he's got all three of his top running backs available. The defense is coming together. And so I would say that the reaction the last 3 weeks has been lukewarm. Obviously, fans were excited to get that win in Washington, but I think a lot of fans were upset that it was a game that almost slipped away because the Seahawks weren't able to score any points in the fourth quarter. I mean, they were ahead 20-3 midway through the third quarter in that game, and they almost found a way to cough it up. And so I think there are a lot of fans that are still skeptical about whether this team can meet those expectations that they have and that this team is going to be able to make a push. At the same time, though, I think this defense has really legitimately turned things around, and a lot of it has to do with the personnel. I think Damon Harrison has been an excellent addition in the middle. It's allowed him to move Puna Ford to the three tech, and so he's causing problems now as a pass rusher to go with his already elite run defense. And Carlos Dunlap obviously has been a major factor, and he's made all of the other pass rushers on their team play at their best. It's really elevated the games of players like rookie Alton Robinson. LJ Collier has been coming along, and they're really getting contributions from a number of different players there. Jamal Adams has been a game wrecker. It's still an unbelievable 9.5 sacks in 10 games. And you just don't hear that from safeties. And he's just such a unique weapon. The secondary is playing a lot better. They're giving up less than 15 points per game in their last five games. And so that defense is really clicking on all cylinders. This is certainly going to be the biggest challenge that they've had since the Arizona game going against the Rams. But I think there are a lot of fans out there that are still holding on to the belief, if we could just get this offense to be semi-close to what it looked like the first half of the season, and this defense continues to trend in the direction it is right now, if we could just put everything together, then this team absolutely has the goods to be able to get a Lombardi trophy. Now, is that going to happen? Who knows? This team has not been able to really put everything together. I would say the Week 11 win over the Cardinals is the closest they've come to both sides of the ball playing well in the same game. But there certainly have been flashes. And when you've got a quarterback like Russell Wilson and you've got a coach like Pete Carroll that has led several teams deep into the playoffs, if they're going to be healthy, which it looks like they're going to be pretty darn healthy going into the playoffs, and you've got some of the weapons they've got there, some of the championship pedigree, then this team is certainly capable. So I think that it's kind of a mixed bag. There are some fans that certainly see this as a Super Bowl contender, and there's some that are like, we haven't put it together to this point. Let's be realistic. It's probably another one or two game in the postseason, and we're out. And so I just kind of just a little bit of a mixed bag here as far as fan reception.
Yeah, I think Rams fans are pretty much aligned perfectly with that exact point, is that, You know, some people are tired of the postseason appearances. Some people want a Super Bowl. Everyone wants a Super Bowl. But some people are also just happy with getting in the postseason. Obviously, the Rams didn't make it in 2019. So getting back in this season would be big for the fan base and the franchise. And I think it's fair to say that both teams are going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, I took a peek at that early playoff picture, and it looks like there's a very good chance that the Rams and the Seahawks could once again match up in the playoffs, which would be pretty crazy for a third time this season, getting another game between two teams that are really feel like they're a coin toss away. And, you know, talking about a coin toss being away, we're going to dive into the final segment when we return. Corbin and I are going to share our game predictions for this contest between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks in week 16.
Welcome back to Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We've talked Seahawks. We've talked Rams. Now let's talk predictions. Sosa, this is a huge game coming up for both teams. It is especially a critical one for the Rams because if the Seahawks win this game, they are NFC West champions. The Rams at best can get a wild card. And when you look at the wild card standings right now, with the two games the Rams have remaining, the Cardinals are going to be battling for their playoff lives in week 17 too. So if you lose this game to the Seahawks, then it puts you in a corner where we better win this game, or right now at least, there is still no guarantee the Rams are going to the postseason. I don't think that's going to happen, but certainly the point I'm trying to make here is that this is an especially huge game for the Rams when you're looking at the NFC West and their playoff chances after losing that game to the Jets last weekend. So how do you see this road trip to Lumen Field playing out as the Rams face the Seahawks for the second time this season?
Oh, man, just hearing it called Lumen Field is throwing me off. I'm so used to calling it Century.
I keep thinking of Seinfeld. That's the only way I can remember it. After all these years, I just go Lumen.
Yeah, no, I was going to say Century Link for a second. It almost rolled off my tongue, but you broke it down perfectly, right? It's more important for the Rams, definitely. They can't go on a two-game losing streak here. Obviously, if they lose, like you mentioned, it's over for the NFC West title. Seattle would take it in that scenario. But even if the Rams manage to win this game, again, they're not guaranteed anything. They're not even guaranteed the NFC West title, I don't believe, depending on, you know, how the Week 17 games turned out in terms of the team's records. But as we look at it right now, I do think the Rams are more desperate, like you mentioned. You know, they're definitely going to want to get out of that losing streak. I don't think they're going to want to lose two games in a row. But then I look at how the Rams and the Seahawks played in the first contest, and it felt like the Rams really dominated that game. The defense had to play absolutely lights out, and it was still a one-score game, and that definitely worries me and would worry me as a Rams fan. You know, I don't know if they can have that same type of repeat performance, especially on the road, where Seattle typically is going to be better at home as opposed to playing in LA. And I'm definitely concerned about that. I think even though, you know, the defense is going to play well and they're probably going to travel well, I'm concerned about the offense. I'm concerned about Jared Goff, if he can play a mistake-free game. I'm concerned about, you know, whether they can actually manufacture any kind of offense. Is it going to be a game like they had against the New England Patriots 2 weeks ago? Or is it going to be like a game that they had against the Miami Dolphins weeks back where they couldn't do anything? So, you know, I think there's enough concerns for me to expect the Seahawks to take this one. I can't see the Rams sweeping them this time around, but I do think it's going to be a close game. So my prediction right now is Seahawks 27, Rams 24. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if it went the opposite way, but I think the Seahawks just have more in their favor right now. I think they're playing better. I think they're more consistent. And I'm just concerned about the Rams. I really don't know what kind of product they're going to put on the field. And that is enough for me to have, you know, enough question marks to pick against the Rams. So why don't you share your game prediction next, and let's see if we line up here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about picking the Rams here just because they've dominated this series recently. They've won five of the last six games. But then I'm thinking the Seahawks are due, and Russell Wilson is due. He has not played. He had a really good game against the Jets a few weeks ago, but he has not had that I was an MVP front runner the first half of the season game. He has not had that in a month and a half. And I'm not saying that he's going to go out and throw five touchdowns in this game. If he does, the Rams are in big trouble. But I think he's going to have a vintage Russell Wilson game. We might see him throw three touchdowns. He's got the run game now, three really good running backs behind him that he can lean on. The offensive line has been playing well, even with some guys being banged up. Obviously, there's some things they have to worry about in that defensive line, most specifically Mr. Donald up there that has ruined so many games for the Seahawks over the years. But I think this game is going to boil down to Russell Wilson is going to throw three touchdowns. Jared Goff is going to get hit fairly often. I think the pressure is going to get to him. I think Joseph Noteboom, he's done well, but I think this is going to be a tough test for him. I think the Seahawks have some explosive edge rushers. Benson Maiyoua might play some on the right side in this game. I could see that being a bit of an issue for him. I think they're going to get home a few times, and they might be able to force a strip sack the Seahawks recover. So ultimately, I think Seattle wins the turnover battle in this game. They're not going to cough it up three times like they did back in Week 10. I can guarantee Russell Wilson's going to play much better in terms of taking care of the football, and I think they're going to be able to take some shots downfield. DK Metcalf's going to get involved some. I'm going to go 31-26. I actually think, even though both these defenses have been playing really well, Seahawks have come on as of late, I actually think this is a game that might be a little bit more offensive than the first matchup between these teams, because Sean McVay always seems to have a good game plan for the Seahawks, even with how their defense have been playing as of late. I could see them giving the Seahawks some issues, particularly with their tight ends. I just think this boils down to Russell Wilson outplaying Jared Goff and Seattle winning the turnover battle. And because of that, they hold on for a 5-point win and clinch an NFC West title for the first time since 2016.
Yeah, I think that's a fair expectation to definitely have in this one. Like you mentioned, you know, it's probably going to make sense to bet on Russell Wilson as opposed to Jared Goff, and that is something that I'm not going to, you know, argue at this point in time. But it sounds like we're both, you know, on the fence, and I think it could go either way. It's probably going to be a close game, as it usually is between these two teams. And even though, like you mentioned, you know, the Rams have dominated this series as of late, I think it's fair to expect that the Seahawks are probably coming into this one with a little bit more swagger, a little bit more confidence, and kind of know what they are, as opposed to the Rams still, you know, trying to find out what they are on the offensive side of the ball. Like head coach Sean McVay mentioned just a few days ago, he said, you know, we still don't really have an identity on offense. We're still trying to find it. And in week 16, that's quite a concerning thing to have, you know, about the offense, is that you still don't really even have a go-to offense when you need some sort of production, you need a score. They still don't really have that. So I think it's fair to say, you know, that we're both leaning towards the Seahawks right now, and it does seem like it's going to be a close one, and I'm expecting it to be a close one, and it typically has been between these two teams. And so, Locked On Rams listeners, Locked On Seahawks listeners, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening to another crossover edition of the Locked On Podcast Network. Enjoy Sunday. This game is going to be a crucial matchup between two divisional foes in the Seattle Seahawks and the Los Angeles Rams. And it's probably fair to say that the winner of this game is most likely going to take the NFC West crown in 2020.